Keith, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Lots of traffic today.
I know. I often wish when we're in traffic that we weren't.
Yeah. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Why do we even take this route?
I like to go as the crow flies.
I hate that. I hate when you just refer everything to crow things.
I know.
You always say I'm eating crow. You always talk about Jim Crow.
Jim Crow laws.
Yeah. Sometimes
the
it's just not
crows.
About crows. Yeah, I know. I know how much you like the black crows. It's evidenced by the crow speak. We could go a different way.
Yeah. Folks, give us a call at 604-822-2487. We'll put your ass on the radio.
We just had a call, didn't we?
We did. So I'm encouraging the caller
to call again.
Call again.
Yeah, call back. We just weren't ready.
We were just changing our footwear.
Yeah.
As I say, folks, we're just filling in for the show. We realized we had the wrong footwear on.
Mm-hmm.
We had to swap out our shoes.
Yeah. Actually, we exchanged footwear is the proper word.
We did.
I'm now wearing your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The shoes were on the wrong feet.
Later, we'll walk approximately a mile.
Give us a call back, 604-822-2487. We'll put your ass on the air.
Yeah.
And we'll talk. What do you want to talk about?
Are we just going to wait? We're going to have to wait now.
Yeah, we're just going to wait here in traffic.
Call. Whoever it was who called, waiting on you now.
Mm-hmm.
Show's not going to go anywhere until you call back.
We're standing by.
Traffic's bad.
But it's still something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's something. The population of the world. Think about how much time people spend just waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's the call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Who's this?
This is Sheila.
Sheila.
How's it going?
It's going good. So, hey, thanks for calling the show.
I listen to your show every day.
Is that right?
Yeah, like I repeat it every day.
So you play previous episodes of the show?
Yeah, every day.
And, of course, we do, Keith and I do Now We're Talking from 6 to 7 every Sunday. Right now, we're just, we're doing a fill-in show.
Oh, you're not Blood on the Saddle?
No.
Oh.
Oh, so you don't listen to our show?
Well, I listen to, I've heard of your show.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just getting into one of these Evos. I might talk for a second here. Oh, there it is. Welcome to
Evo. Sounds like you're in traffic as well. We're in traffic, too.
Well, what I'm doing here is I'm getting to one of these Evos, and these Evos are so interesting, you know? It's just like you're sharing a car.
You know, that accent's interesting. I find myself, it's almost, my voice wants to lilt into your southern accent. Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Parkersburg, West Virginia. And are you there now, or you just mentioned Evo?
No,
I feel like you're in Vancouver.
I'm in Vancouver currently I've been here for about 3 months.
3 months. And what brought you up here from down there?
Well, I work on hearing aids.
You work on hearing aids?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what do you do to them?
Well, you know when people need to hear better?
Right.
I help them hear better with a certain type of hearing aid.
Interesting. Okay.
So I just work on them, like, I fix them, I sell them. You know, it's a science.
It takes a long time. Do you take ear molds?
I do ear molds.
Wow.
But, you know, we mold, we, you know, caress. We do whatever you need to do to the ear to help you hear, you know?
Wow. That might be of interest to our listeners because everybody that, out of all of our listeners, they all hear. You know what I mean?
I get it. It's all about a hearing.
It's not a visual medium. It's an audio medium.
So what do you guys do on your show?
Well, on our show, we don't play any music. We don't play any country music or anything like that. We basically just kind of fumble in the darkness and hope to come up with something.
Shenanigans.
Wait a minute. Are you the real Jeff Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've heard of you.
Have you?
I have.
Do you know, can you recall how that is? Why that is?
Well, there's one time I was looking up like the Jeff Show featuring, I think it was James Bryant or something. I'm really into podcasts.
Oh, the Jeff Show hosted by Jason Bryant in Calgary.
Right. Because, you know, Calgary kind of has more southern flavors going on.
Yeah.
And then I was just looking up Jeff Bryant, and then I found you. And
wow.
I have listened to your show before, both you and Keith Kennedy, is that it, right?
That's right.
Keith anything?
That's
okay,
me,
it's all
yeah.
It's all coming together. It's all
yeah. Well, that's that worked out well that you called in and we were hosting today.
Yeah, it's just really weird how that happens, you know? The world is your oyster.
What are your impressions of Vancouver?
Well,
can you do an impression of Vancouver?
What do you mean? Like, you want me to, like, talk, like, impression of a person or impression of the city itself?
The city, like, if you can do an impression of the city itself, if you can personify Vancouver, how would you do that?
Yeah, what would Vancouver say?
Yeah, what would it sound
Vancouver
like?
Vancouver would say, hey,
uh-huh.
Do you like my boat?
Right,
but I didn't see how I went into like a different kind of accent. I said, "Do you like my boat?"
Right,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of water.
You know, there's a lot of water, mm-hmm. And I would say, "Do you want to go for a jaunt?"
A jaunt.
Yeah.
You hear that
with
a lot,
my friend John. Yeah.
I like that Vancouver cares about your opinion.
I have to ask.
It really wants
being
to know.
As you're American, do you have political affiliations? I know that there's an election in your country coming up soon.
Oh my God, I got to tell you, it has been such a treat to watch. Our election this year.
How so?
Well, I mean, as a lover of Trump, big lover.
You have made love to Donald Trump?
No, I'm a lover. I love him
as
a human being and all the thing that it's about.
Would you make love to him?
No, that's kind of gross.
Oh, okay.
Just because he's kind of like, you know, he could be like a father or something, you know?
Right.
But yeah, he's going to be like 70. The father of the country, you know?
The father, yeah, could be the fatherland.
Yeah, I mean, don't you agree? Don't y'all Canadians like that?
I don't know about that. I feel like the persuasion of a lot of people up here is probably anti-Trump. Have you not detected that in your interactions with others, or is this the first time you've spoken about your political leanings with?
I guess so. Nobody really asked me about it.
Yeah. Well, it's so. What do you like about him? What's appealing about him?
His words? His specific choice of words.
Interesting.
And how he phrases them.
So you find it persuasive when he speaks.
Yeah, and I just think that he has a lot of passion behind what he talks about. And I agree with majority of the things that he says.
If there's any listeners out there, let us know if you agree. I mean, we're curious to know. We've got an expatriate from the United States living here in Canada, or temporarily she's repatriated. I don't want to say an expatriate because you probably would say that you still are a patriot. But, give us a call if you want to chime in on this conversation, but go ahead.
But I was just going to say, like, he's just, you know, real. And I guess I can see that he does, you know, he might be a little bit rude at times, but sometimes you just need to, you know, just kick him in the crotch while you can, mm-hmm. You know? You just got to kind of go with it.
Keith, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. What about him makes you think that he'll be a good president?
He's straightforward. And he's got an edge.
Okay. Do you think former presidents have been straightforward and have had an edge?
You know... Yeah, I mean, Bush is just right up there with Trump. Like, I love them both, right? You know, I'm a Republican through and through, so it's just something that I really appreciate with those kinds, you know, of people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of Bush's presidency?
Well, I was a little bit young. You know,
okay.
I was kind of like in my early teens.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama, I pretty much, you know, it's kind of one of those things that when I watch things now, I really appreciate it. But it really just goes with what my mom and my papa always told me to do, you know? It's kind of one of those things that might be a little bit of an issue at this moment. I'm just realizing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm into it.
Huh? Yeah.
And I'm curious to know, what do you make of this idea of Trump suggesting that people not be allowed into the country based on their religious affiliations? Are you yourself a religious person?
I am. I love the Lord.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's just really, it was really well delivered.
It's
as if it was a joke.
Yeah.
Well, no, I love the Lord.
But I guess it's no laughing matter for you, is it?
No, you know what, though? I got to say, I'm going to be on your side for a second here. Oh. That's not right to do. Because as our Lord and Savior teaches us that we're all equal, right? And we all got to just kind of look out for each other. And so I don't really agree with him not wanting to let people into the country.
That's Are you worried not, about that? Right. If you will you be voting for him, by the way? How will you be casting your vote? Will you be going home to vote or mailing it in or something?
I'll be phoning it in.
Phoning it in. Texting it in? Can you do that now?
You can do that.
That's amazing.
You know, like the phrase phone it in?
Yes.
It kind of came from literally phoning in your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so how does that work? Who do you dial? Like, you text it or you call it or?
Yeah, there's a number.
There's a hotline, man.
Will you just call up and say Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump for me.
First, you got to get through all the robotic voices and all the questions.
There's a lot of voices, but.
Yeah. But then eventually you just say Trump into the machine and it's done.
Exactly. And, you know, then we're all kind of. We're on the same page that way.
What did you think about Obama's presidency? Let me ask you this. It's you know, Donald Trump, there was this whole birther thing where he had suggested that Barack Obama was not born in the United States, which was just totally bizarre. And that kind of more or less went away, and then recently he had this press conference this past week where he was meant to apologize for it, but he didn't. He did no such thing, but he finally has suggested that Barack Obama was born in the States. But what do you think about all that? What was your take on that?
Well, I am a lover of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that I think Trump made a mistake. And I think his free will got the best of him because he thought he was a little bit too free to express certain feelings, you know?
Right.
But I do think that Obama, I mean, this system, they would never let somebody who was not born in the United States of America be the president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
So you weren't worried about that at the time?
No. You know what? I actually quite enjoy Obama. Mm-hmm. I like his rapping battles on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's present for those.
He's one for the people, you know? It's what I quite enjoy.
Would it be a dream ticket for Obama and Trump to be on the same ticket somehow to sort of have
co-presidency? That's a good idea. You should phone that in.
Is there a number? Is it the same number?
Yeah.
It's close. It's a similar number. Can I just express something to you right now?
Yes.
I am going to a BBQ and I'm just about to buy a bottle of wine.
Oh.
Just for the, you know, the gift.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Yeah,
Chateau Margaux, 1955.
If they have one.
Well, I'm just looking into these, you know, these Okanagan Valley kind of wines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anyway, I mean, I don't know if you want me to, you know, buy something on the air.
Yeah, if it's what is it? What kind of barbecue? Like
do
hot
they
dogs?
Have any Trump wine?
Is it?
They don't.
Is it hot dogs and hamburgers, or is it like steaks and salmon?
It's vegan.
Oh my dear Lord!
It's D-free and G-free.
Okay. You want to go with something that has no flavor then, otherwise it's going to totally overpower everything.
Yeah, we eat a lot of lettuce.
Go with naked grape, one of the whites.
Well, no, I'm just about to buy it at the counter. Like, you get live on the scene right now.
Wow. This is live on the scene.
But anyway, do you mind if I buy this right now?
No, go ahead, please. Thank you. Okay. What was your name again?
Sheila.
Sheila, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate the perspective. And go ahead and have yourself a good day
thank
now.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care now.
Mm-hmm.
You take care.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was interesting. I found myself really kind of lilting into that southern accent.
It's hard not to do an accent when you hear it.
Yeah. I feel like more than most accents. Folks, give us a call at 604-822-2487. It's an open situation here. We can talk about what have you. We just had a caller. We talked a little bit about... U.S. presidential politics. We had a Trump supporter. That's not something that you encounter much around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
But we had somebody there from West Virginia living in Vancouver offering their perspective. But But I found that, for a Trump supporter, this sounds very biased, which of course I am. I found her to be quite surprisingly, I don't know. She
congenial?
Said congenial. She supports Obama. These are not things that the stereotypical Trump supporter is supportive of.
I guess
I found that interesting.
The Vancouver's gotten under her skin already.
Maybe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't ask you, do you like my boats? Maybe it asks you, why the frig are you voting Republican?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you start thinking, man, maybe that president from before wasn't so bad.
Folks, give us a call, 604-822-2487. As we always say, we'll put your ass on the air. That's
Woo,
right.
As we always say on this fill-in show.
That was, I really like that southern accent.
Yeah.
I find myself disappointed when I speak.
It kind of makes me picture a very attractive sort of blonde girl.
Yeah.
With maybe well endowed. Maybe that's just in my
head.
I always envisage
of like an elderly attractive what? Male.
Oh, right.
With like long flowing
portly,
hair.
With like portly, a handlebar mustache.
Old but cherubic.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I see. I don't know.
It's funny, when she said her name was Sheila, I thought she might be a family member of mine because I have some Sheilas in my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a couple of them. And I thought...
Does this sound like an East Coast name?
I thought, is someone playing a trick on me?
You thought it was somebody called... See, it's hard.
My southern accent's way more subtle.
Let's hear it.
Well, I just did it.
I
sound like someone who just got rid of it.
You actually have experience in having different accents.
I do. That's why when I do them, they can be subtle. I'm usually doing an accent on the air. It's just so subtle you can't notice.
Right.
Yeah, I do a really good Jamaican one most of the time.
We're going to save that for the end of the show.
Yeah.
Well, folks, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And thank goodness for that, because Keith and I have been so lonely without you. We have. And this week, we had the chance to come in the studio just a little bit early. And if you give us a call, we're going to put your ass on the air. That's right. Mm-hmm. As we always do, as we've been doing for like 20 minutes now.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one caller, Sheila from West Virginia, of course.
Precedence has been set.
Precedence about presidents.
Precedence and precedence.
Presidential precedence.
Mm-hmm. Like doing a poor job.
Poor.
Even the most famous, most beloved presidents kind of did a poor job.
Keith, do you want to play a song or some stuff?
Sure.
You know, we're kind of doing things differently. It's usually we have a very strictly regimented 60 minutes on the air. It's a bit different with this film show. We can do whatever we want. And we're waiting for somebody to call.
Yeah.
And we might as well play a song while we wait.
Sure.
Is there anything you want to hear?
Am I going to do that thing where I ask for a thing and then we don't have it?
Well, we'll probably have it. But remember last time, this is like back in June, I think the first show or the fill-in show even.
Yeah.
You suggested we play Kiss.
Yeah, by Prince.
And then I realized, oh, actually, he's known.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah.
Can we get the Mars...
But we probably could have played it anyway.
Can we get the Mars Volta?
Mars Volta.
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a band.
And any song in particular?
It seems to fit the kind of things that we played here.
Is there a song you want to hear?
Yeah, I just don't remember the name of it.
There's The Widow?
That's the one.
Excellent.
Give her.
Okay, folks, you're listening to CITR 101.9. This is The Mars
This goes
Volta.
Out to Sheila.
This is for Sheila. It's called The Widow.
Got fast in black lungs, made of clove splintered shards. They're the kind that will talk through a wheezing of cars. And I hear him every night, in every pore, in every time. Just makes me laugh.
chested and putting my fingers to my head. The solution is I see a whole room of these mutant kids. Fuse at the wrist, I simply tell them they should shoot at this. Simply suggest my chest and this confused music is obviously best for them to turn their guns to a fist.
That's a band called 21 Pilots. Never heard of them before. I'm sure they're very famous and you have. But there you go. That's my first chance to hear their music. At least this particular song. That was Keith's idea. And so we played it. Oh, hold on a second. We got a call here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking for this on the air. This is Acme Pest Control, right?
No, this is CITR. You're calling for who? Sorry?
What?
Yeah, this is a radio station.
No, this is the listing for your Acme, right?
What number did you dial, sir?
Hold on a second. 604.
That's right.
822.
Correct.
2487.
That's correct.
Yeah, what's the joke, man? What's
now,
going
hold on
what?
A second. Is this the yellow pages or where did you get this number?
Yeah.
Yes, I see that's your problem right there. So the yellow pages are not—that's not a thing anymore. What year does it say on the front of your?
It's not a thing anymore.
Well, what year does it say on the front of the yellow pages there?
I don't know.
Can you
hold on?
Yeah, check it out.
But 604-822. Oh no, hold on.
But what year does the yellow?
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Check the year.
1980.
Yeah.
What?
Wow, that's not right, is it? I mean, it's 2016, isn't it?
I guess.
Sir, what year do you think it is? Forget that I just told you it was 2016, because I might be lying.
8?
No. What year do you think it is?
I don't know. When did that Dylan album come out with the stupid video?
Oh, that was 1984.
Okay.
That's the year you think it is?
No, I think that's the year I was born.
Oh, boy. So let me try to understand what you.
What am I, 80?
Who are you trying to call? What do you want? Maybe I can help you.
Oh yeah. Okay. My back hurts. My lower back hurts.
You were calling a pest control company because your back hurts?
Oh no! I just thought you said you could help me.
Oh, that's why did you make the phone call though?
Oh okay. Yeah, I got these bugs in my house.
Okay, bugs. Yeah. Bed bugs or?
No, Like they're like little cameras and microphones, and I think that it's the CIA.
Well, everybody has those now. That's nothing unusual about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
so I wouldn't
because
worry about it.
They didn't have them in 1984.
Have you heard of Edward Snowden?
No.
Yeah, everybody's got bugs now. That's basically his code for everybody
has
bugs
now.
Is that
like his thing? Is that like a song he wrote or something?
He might have wrote a song about it. I'm not sure.
Everyone has bugs now?
Yeah, they might. As I say, I don't know if he wrote this. I can't say that definitively that he didn't write a song about that. He might have.
He probably did then.
But I wouldn't worry too much about that, sir. I just,
yeah,
you know, watch what you say, you know?
Yeah, but they can hear me pee.
Mm.
I'm a loud peer. I've got thick braids of urine.
Well, why don't we think about a way to silence your urine together? Maybe that's how
sir,
I can help.
Sir, are you asking me to sit down to pee?
Well, have you tried peeing on a pillow?
Not on purpose. I mean, sometimes because of my back, I have to put a pillow between my knees, but that's not the same thing.
Well, maybe you should do it deliberately. You should pee on a pillow or a sheet.
A sheet?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? I mean, my pee's yellow.
Well, I mean, anything to silence your urine, that's the goal here, right? I mean, you've called in, and, you know, I'm glad that you have. I hope that I haven't come across as hostile. I was just trying to understand the nature of the call.
Well,
but now that I understand why you're calling, why don't we work? Do you have to pee now?
No, I peed before I called. I'm not stupid. I had to come. The phone doesn't reach the bathroom.
Okay, that's good, because we don't want to hear the sound.
The cord's not long enough.
We don't want to hear the sound of peeing on
Well, this is why I don't understand the bugs, man. Because who wants to hear that? Let alone the little
Wait a second, sir. Can you hold on 1 second?
Okay.
Sorry, all this talk about urinating has caused me to... just 1 second.
Now, you see, how do you do that? How do you be so brave?
Oh, God. Oh, that's a lot better. Okay, great.
I don't get it. You don't care the people? Are you really on the radio?
Oh, yeah, we're on the radio.
And you don't care the people heard that?
No, it's fine. People don't expect much more than that, to be honest.
Wait. Is this one of those radio shows that no one listens to?
It is. It's exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Well, that's not the same thing. The CAA, I mean, there's got to be at least one person listening to me pee.
Sir, why do you think I've kept you on the air for as long as I have so far? It's because we got nothing else going on for the show.
I'm starting to wonder maybe if I didn't. Is it can CIA can you get my calls? Did you intercept my call?
That might be true. This might be the CIA. Let's give him a round of applause, folks. He's figured it out, and that's exactly what's going on. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks for calling.
How many people are there?
And we'll catch you next time. Thank you, sir. Folks, if you'd like to give us a call at CITR, you can call us at 604-822-2487. We'll put your ass on the air. And we'll talk. So come on, give us a call and we'll chat. It's 4:36 right now at the sound of the beep. Beep. And in studio I have with me, as you know, I'm wont to do, Keith Kennedy. And Keith,
hey,
how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
You're wont to do.
You missed it. There was, I got a call there from somebody.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's two calls now.
I was in the bathroom. I had to pee.
You're peeing. That's two calls that we've had, and feel good about that.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
It's coming in good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did the guy who called happen to flirt with a southern accent by accident while he was talking?
He did.
Yeah. That was weird, right?
That was strange.
Yeah. It's a strange choice.
Just looking at... Sorry, I was just surfing the internet there. Folks... We're on the air.
Oh, we got a call.
We got a call.
Let's do it. It's that guy again.
Yes, Anonymous, you're on the air. Who's calling, please?
Okay, we'll go with Anonymous.
Anonymous. And how are you? What's going on?
Turn the radio off so it doesn't...
Yeah, absolutely. Turn that radio off first before we get started.
Radio etiquette.
This could be a substantial conversation, so we don't want to be hindered by the radio in the background there.
That's true.
So what's going on?
Well, I just hear you guys reaching out and talking about different things.
Yeah.
I'm open.
Good.
To discussion.
Good. You know, we're grateful for that because we are struggling to fill airtime today.
You're okay. Struggling.
We're hosting a show at 6 o'clock, and of course, that show is well plotted out. This is kind of just a little bit of we're just throwing this together. So tell us what's going on. What's on your mind these days? Do you have any perspectives on the U.S. presidential politics or anything you want to say about peeing or anything that we've covered already?
I think that's what I'll do. I'll just cover what you guys
sure.
started covering,
yep.
and then we can take it from there.
Perfect.
Okay.
That sounds
good.
So typical Vancouver expression is no worries.
No worries.
Yes.
Right.
No worries. I've never heard that anywhere else. I'm from back east.
Yeah. Well, it's probably come by way of Australian, right? There's so many Australians here. That it probably migrated from over there. That's true.
That's funny. I never thought of that. It is a common Australian thing.
Yeah, I have noticed how language has evolved, and I feel like that has probably the responsibility.
That's not a bona fide Vancouver expression.
Well, I guess, maybe not bona fide. I'm not sure what the criteria for that is, but maybe it's become
yeah,
that.
I think it certainly is.
I mean,
now.
That's the nature of language. I don't know. Well, Keith, what does bona fide mean? I mean, does that imply that it's always been the way?
No, I don't think so. Go ahead.
We could break it down into syllables. Mm-hmm. Bona meaning good, fide meaning
genuine, real, yeah. sincerely. Yeah, okay.
It's the real deal. So I think no worries is because I remember hearing it. I'm from the East Coast as well, and I remember hearing it in my youth here. And not only is it said a lot, it's sort of synonymous with the West Coast mentality, right?
It is. I'm from back east, and that's stress. City back east.
Are you from Toronto or you
yes,
say stress
and
city?
I'll
so.
Say this on the air. This is a phrase that I coined myself.
Okay.
I call it like, you know, people from here call it Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Back
it's
there
Tirana.
They call it Trana.
Trana. Yeah.
I call it trauma.
Trauma. Toronto trauma. So it traumatized you, eh? When
yes,
did you manage?
Very traumatic.
When did you make your exodus from Trana?
Trana, about 20 years ago.
Okay.
So I've missed the five-year window, you know, where Torontonians come out here and then they freak out and they go, rain!
Yeah.
And then they go back east, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hung in there. I said, I can't stand black ice.
Yeah.
I'm staying here.
And of course, the inverted experience is snow, ice. That was my experience with Toronto. Was at first I found it very charming how cold it was and how inconvenient it was to get in and out of taxis.
Ugh.
And then I thought, no, that's enough. So I lasted about 5 years before I had to come back to Vancouver. I want to clarify too. You said you don't like black ice or black guys.
Black ice.
Black ice. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, there's lots of black guys in Toronto.
Yeah. There are, but not as much here. That's why I wanted to just check.
I'd like to put it out there on the air that you just
black
stole
guys
my
are
joke.
Fine.
That Jeff stole my joke.
All the Jamaican food was absolutely amazing in Toronto, so it was just other things.
I also love black guys.
Temperaments.
And what kind of Jamaican food? Jamaican patties, for example?
Oh,
you ever have those?
There's a place on Queen Street near Broadway called The Real Jerk.
Mm.
Oh, nice.
To die for.
I can remember having some doubles Jamaican patties in Kensington Market as well.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That could be my thing. If you're the real Jeff Bryan, I could be the real jerk.
Mm-hmm. Keith, what about you? Have you ever been with a black guy before?
Once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you have. Sorry, I was asking Keith. But,
oh, okay.
But when you say you've been with a black guy, is it you were in marriage? Did you date him?
I dated.
And how long did that last?
kind of off and on. It, you know, it's not usually a racial thing.
Sure.
When it's love.
Yeah. If you meet somebody and you care about them, it kind of falls away.
You know, it just happens to be you might be working at the same place or something like that. You know.
And,
well, that's good. And that's the way that it should be. And that makes this sort
getting
of this
down,
this
Bill.
Acceptance that we're speaking of, this tolerance, makes me think about how what's coming back to the U.S. presidential election and how intolerant some people are. What are your thoughts on Donald Trump? Because we've had one perspective, and I'm wondering whether you might be an opposing perspective. Maybe not. I don't know.
I am actually just enlightened observer of all of this craziness.
It is craziness, isn't it?
The border.
What are you observing? What are you noticing?
Well, first of all, I like Donald Trump because he shook up the status quo of the Republicans. Like
sure, that's
nobody's
true enough.
Business. No, whether he gets elected or not, that party is never going to be the same again after he's been through with them.
Do you think the party will survive?
It might. It might not. But I don't think it's going to survive the way it did before.
Interesting because in a way, you feel like these things are unshakable. Your whole life you've heard of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and you assume that they're infallible. But you look back historically and you realize, you know, in the scope of human history, these things, they are temporary. So it's not a given that these parties survive. So who knows? Maybe it has imploded. Keith has a point over here. He's raised his hand.
I just wanted to throw something at you, see what you think.
Sure.
What about the idea that Trump didn't come along and shake up the party, but the party had gone so far from the middle that something like Trump or someone like Trump was bound to happen? What do you think of that idea?
That's a very good possibility.
Well, you look at Ted Cruz and you see that if there was no Donald Trump, there would have been another character in line.
That would have been an American Stephen Harper.
Oh, yeah. Born in Calgary. Born in Calgary.
And he's from Calgary, too.
Yeah, how funny that a Calgarian almost became the...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which
but
by
Donald
the nominee
in there with the birther thing.
Yeah, that's. Did you hear what happened this week with, with that? That was bizarre.
Did.
Yeah, finally Trump said it's okay. Everyone, it's okay that Obama was president.
The most bizarre thing about that was that he had released to the media, this is going to happen, there's going to be this press conference, at long last, I'm going to comment on this birther thing. And it was then in the context of him announcing a new hotel in Washington, Trump Hotel in D.C., which is
like
what he
95%.
Spent the majority of his time discussing. Yeah. He's like, oh, by the way, okay, the birther thing.
He's
going
to keep his toe in his business just in case the whole president thing doesn't
It's amazing. It's kind of, it's hard to know whether it's kind of like watching a traffic accident. Like you can't like look away, you know, but it's amazing to see that. So it's shocking how self-promotional, it's so transparent what he's doing is, or you would think, and yet either that doesn't, and I wonder whether people don't see what he's doing or they just don't care. And it's easy to assume that a lot of people are very stupid and not noticing what's going on. But I think a lot of people just don't care.
I think the problem is that if you look over on the left side of the ledger, there's lots going on there too, which is pretty fishy. You've heard about the investigation into the Clinton Foundation and
sure.
how her and Bill are going all over the world making deals with kind of nefarious people.
Is this the problem, that there's no candidates on either side? It's sort of whether you're left-leaning, right-leaning, there's just no trustworthy candidates?
And Hillary, we don't even know if she's going to survive. I mean, they had to cart her away at the 9/11 thing. I mean, did you see the videos for that?
I'm not sure if I did. What was it?
She was at the 9/11 ceremony. And,
oh, right. Yes, I heard about that.
She left due to heat exhaustion, which turned into pneumonia, but there's a video of her, and they're carting her into an SUV, and honest to God, it was like Weekend at Bernie's, you know? She's still alive?
I'm amazed that you feel the way you do about politics, but are willing to reference Weekend at Bernie's.
It fits, though. It fits, though, when you think about
you
it.
You got to check YouTube, because there was lots of referencing to Weekend at Bernie's after the Hillary thing.
It's a stolen reference.
But I just want to mention two other people that are not getting any press, and I'm really...
Sure, me and Jeff, right? About it. No.
You and, yes, you too.
We are running.
Jill Stein and the Green Party guy, Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, now, I don't think they got a hope in hell of winning, but, you know, they should let them on the debate stage just to bring up stuff. Because right now, we've got this binary thing.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
The two evils.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Ross Perot ran for president back in 1992 and managed to get on the debate stage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was very... No, what's I'm trying to remember when that's happened.
Was Nader on as well?
No.
Nader wasn't?
I don't think they've ever let anybody else on. That's what I'm wondering. Aside from Perot in 92, because I don't think he did appear in the debates in 96, I'm trying to remember when the last time was that three candidates appeared in a debate in U.S. presidential politics. I don't know if... I think that was unprecedented, actually, in modern history.
But, you know, I mean, they're shutting out the green guy in the States, and we shut out Elizabeth May in our election, too, which is kind of sad. She had to go on Twitter, basically.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the future of politics. You know, maybe it's like how do you get a voice to other politicians, and maybe rather than this slow glacial process by which they gain legitimacy through conventional channels, they can just tweet their thoughts and people will vote for them that way. As we said, we had with that caller earlier, she was under the what I think was a misapprehension that she could call in or text her vote. I don't think we're there yet.
I think you can.
But it's interesting to think about how things will change, and it's been a conversation going on for a long time how to have a third party candidate that is offered a legitimate opportunity, and it seems like the powers that be will, especially after what happened with Ross Perot in 92, I think you could argue that's why Bush lost the election. Yeah. I don't think that the powers that be want that to happen. I think
no, they don't want to split their base.
Well, they don't want people asking the hard questions. You know, it's much easier splinging mud at each other. You know, ooh, Hillary did this. Ooh, Donald did that. You know, it's like, well, how about something important? You know?
So what's going to be the more disappointing outcome for you? Because it sounds like you're not a supporter of either. But on election day, assuming that those third party candidates do not are not elected as president, which is
very
unlikely.
Well, I'm hoping for some crazy tsunami thing happening in Bernie Sanders gets in, but
yay. Oh really? So what would that, if that happened, what would it look like? How would it play out, do you think?
Well, I don't think he's perfect either. I mean, he's got a lot of baggage as well. I mean, he's voted against certain things in government that should have gone forward, but we need someone they need somebody who is willing to shake up the status quo a little bit, you know, because otherwise you're just going to, it's like that song by The Who, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
just a different pantsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Yeah. You got the Trump pantsuit and you got the Hillary pantsuit, right?
Trump's pantsuit is huge, though. Most luxurious pantsuit you've ever seen.
If we wake up on November the 9th or whenever it is, the day after the election, and find out that Bernie Sanders has become the president, what's the path that we can visualize, even if it's ridiculously improbable? Let's begin by visualizing, how might this play out? Is there going to be some sort of last-minute civil war in the Democratic Party, or is he able to be elected as a third-party candidate at the last minute?
He might. I mean, they've already talked about, it got leaked into the press that they were looking for an alternate for Hillary in case she wasn't well enough to do it. So there's talk about it already.
What would be happening now in the polls if it was Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee versus Donald Trump?
Well, the thing is, he's got the young vote, which is similar in our situation where Trudeau got in, and that people actually went out and voted.
Yeah.
So his challenge is to get these young people to the polls, which they traditionally don't do.
Mm-hmm.
They're very supportive. They show up at the rallies and everything, but they don't vote. And if he can pull that off, and surround himself by young thinkers, like people that are progressive thinkers,
mm-hmm.
like Kennedy did.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a really good chance of pulling it all together.
And in the absence of that outcome, if it is going to be Trump or Hillary, which is more depressing?
I think we should build a wall across the 49th parallel.
We should start now because we only have about 50 days left.
So we'll start at Point Roberts and work our way.
That's just one day per parallel, so we're fine.
Now, realistically, I don't know if we'll get all the way across the country, so should we just fence off the lower mainland?
Yeah. Okay. And
let's
then,
start with that.
Put like nets across, you know.
Nets and those camouflage netting so you can't be seen from above by planes.
They can't bring boats here.
Okay, well, that's not a bad idea. Folks, you heard it here. I want to thank you for calling. I'm going to refer to you as anonymous because that's what I have here on the call.
Yeah, that's
fine. And to be clear, is this anonymous as in the activist group that's calling?
Oh,
or?
God, no.
Okay, just making sure because that would be an alarming outcome.
They stole my name, those bastards.
Very well done. Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye.
What a great caller, Keith. Wasn't that nice?
Yes, that was.
Turned into a fruitful political conversation. And folks, that's what happens if you call us at 604-822-2487. We're going to put your ass on the air.
On the air.
Put your ass
on the air. Want to try again?
Put your ass on the air.
I think we're going to have a fill-in show that we call Put Your Ass on the Air.
Put Your Ass on the Air.
Because I'm starting to find it charming.
And the rest of you, too, if you're lucky. That was cool. Thanks for calling, Anonymous. That's three callers that we've had today.
Yeah.
That's a new record.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a caller?
Well, it's a new record for a villain show, but we've never really tried calling.
On our show,
we
don't. I think we've invited people to call a couple times, and then they've been too trepidatious.
Yeah.
But
Also, it's not as welcoming, this fill-in show casual dynamic.
Yeah, maybe it's more welcoming. Folks, we have about 8 minutes left in this particular program. There is time for you to call in, so go ahead and give us a call. Don't be shy, 604-822-2487. All we ask is that you don't call up and cuss incessantly.
just a little bit.
That's going to get you off the air. That's going to get your ass off the air.
I have a request. If there's someone out there who'd like to phone in and just tell us that they don't like Trump, because that's a couple of callers now who seem to be kind of okay with what Trump's up to.
Well, we had the first caller was a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
The second caller was pretty much indifferent towards both major candidates, but also recognized, what'd she say? She said that at least Trump is sort of disrupting the Republican
Party.
Yeah,
she thought there was something good about shaking it up.
So she's not quite a Trump supporter, but she's seeing some value in how he's disrupted the political process.
I would just like to hear from someone who doesn't
Let's get the other end of the spectrum.
Like the idea of equating, I'm not a big fan of equating Hillary with Trump in terms of them both being evil or them both being terrible at the job. I mean, Hillary is arguably the most qualified person to ever run the country based on every other president we've ever seen and what they did beforehand. So in that regard, I like to hear from someone who doesn't like Trump and thinks that Hillary is obviously the clear choice.
Yeah, get the full spectrum here. Who would have thought hosting a call-in radio show on a campus station in Vancouver, British Columbia, that after speaking to two callers, we'd be soliciting a caller to offer a liberal, liberal standpoint.
Yeah, where are my wingers at?
I guess they're wallflowers. I don't know, but why don't you call in
and
offer that perspective? Did you see Bill Maher this week, Keith? I don't mean did you see him in person?
Fell asleep trying to watch it last night, Jeff.
Did you catch the bit where the campaign manager was?
Show. I just saw the beginning.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I saw like the first 10 minutes.
That was interesting because she's been a guest on his show.
Yeah,
his shows.
She's nice.
For the last 20
she's like a
20 years.
A
so
normal human.
They have a rapport and a personal relationship and a friendship, and that was very interesting to see because he is very clearly like not tolerant of Trump and his bullshit.
Totally.
And it was interesting to see them have this conversation because. She clearly, what she's doing is what she's hired to do, which is to spin,
to soften him.
And yet she did it with such grace that you're almost like, okay.
Well, it goes past the point of being horrible behavior because you're a liar into she's so graceful at the way she's painting it that you admire her skill,
bizarre.
Which is horrible.
There was one point in the conversation where she said, she's talking about Hillary Clinton, and she said, I would never work for somebody who consistently tells lies. And then, he laughs, and the audience laughs, and it's like, it's sad, because it really makes me think about Goebbels and the Nazis, and I don't know whether it was his quote or Hitler's quote or who it's attributed to, but just that idea that as long as you keep saying it, you know, people will buy into it as the truth. And that's exactly what this is. And that's not ambiguous. That's clearly what this is.
Well,
and even from his book, I mean, and Bill Maher drew attention to that from his book, Art of the Deal. He talks about very directly how that's kind of his MO, is just exaggerate the truth. Like, don't even, just tell people what they want to hear. It's funny because it's really, in a way, that's what politicians do and maybe have always done, and he's being kind of honest about it. But it's so exaggerated that I almost fear that the more laughable and exaggerated his distortions and lies are, the more likely they are to land successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's laughable and disturbing, but it can be much more disturbing. There's a precedent of outrageous accusations and claims and people embracing them. And humans are capable of anything, man. And I was saying before that I think people assume that, you know, institutions and parties are infallible. They're not. And also, it's not a given that people broadly aren't capable of bad collective behavior. So I think it's really disturbing.
Yeah. Well, that scares me when I hear people talk about this equivalency between Trump and anyone, because whether Trump is serious or not, whether it's an act or not, he's playing a dangerous game. And when you rile that section of society up, there is precedent for bad things happening. And I think that he should be accountable for that. And I think that anyone who thinks that he's going to shake up the system in a positive way is up for a really, really bad 4 years, because you have to know how to do it. This is not a job that you can romanticize. If the president of the United States doesn't go in there and just hand off all of the responsibilities to everybody, that's not actually what happens. They have to know what they're doing. The job is governance. The job is not politicking. The job is not politics at all. What Trump is doing is politics. And if he can't run the country, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's really unclear to me whether it's whether to be optimistic about the world and what's happening in the world or not, because in a way I get really excited when I think about solar technology and a lot of technological advancements. And then I look at what's happening with this election. I don't really care how close the polls are. The fact that it's a coin toss and not like 10% of the population are retarded, really stupid, and are thinking about this option, that would be curious. But when it's basically a toss-up, I find it bizarre. Folks, thanks for listening to the show. It's 4:57 right now at the sound of
keep opening and closing that door.
Was that me opening and closing?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that, another hit. We're just at the baseball game right now. We're going to switch over to another show here at 5 o'clock. And, of course, Keith and I will be back at 6 o'clock, which is when we host Now We're Talking. And we're just going to listen to this baseball game. Oh, we're going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That's a perfect way to end the show.
Sure. How much time do we have?
Got like a minute.
Okay.